Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Well, that's right. It is more Monday Night Talk. It's the political part, but I'm definitely not Kevin Tachi. I'm Christine James, your moderator, and it is a political forum starting right now. It goes through 8 o'clock. It's the primary election race for the 2nd Plymouth and Bristol District, and that includes the city of Brockton. You got Halifax, Hanson, Hanover, Plimpton, Whitman, and parts of East Bridgewater and Easton. And we've got incumbent State Senator Mike Brady here from the 2nd Plymouth and Bristol District. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
And he's facing a challenge from Brockton City Council member Moises Rodriguez, and we appreciate you being here. Now, I'm your moderator, Christine James. I'm joined by Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi, who's also running a camera back there. Again, these are different times for us. We're in our smaller studio tonight, so we've had to separate a little bit. Charles Mathewson, one of our senior reporters, is over there in the news booth. He's plugged in here on the headphones, and he can hear everything, and he'll be asking questions as well. I can kind of see a corner of his head out of my eye. And, of course, we've got cable here, and it's Whitman Hanson Community Access. And thanks so much for joining us tonight. They're always really good about sending cameras over. Now, if you're a regular listener of WATD, you know what the format is. It's always the same format every political forum. We've asked candidates to have opening and closing statements. Opening statement is 2 minutes tops. Closing statement is a minute. Now, in between, we ask a round of questions. We ask the candidates to please stick to a minute for their answer. And then we get to my favorite part of the evening. And that's the lightning round. The lightning round are the questions that we ask that are either yes or no answers, and it is yes or no without a long explanation, a soliloquy, et cetera. It's either yes or no, or one or two sentences tops, and the reporter will ask what kind of an answer they want. And we love this because we find most people that run for office can't do that. So That's what makes it, you know, very entertaining here. What we did just several moments ago, we picked the names of both the candidates out of the stand-in official newsroom koozie, which still disappeared at the end of the last political season. So we would determine our open and closing order. So what we're going to do is start with Senator Mike Brady and then go to Moises Rodriguez and that lovely Amy Leonard that's right in the other room. That is the woman with the colored paper. Now, the green is go. This is just like grade school, remember? The yellow is mean is you have 10 seconds. Remember, it's not Massachusetts. It doesn't mean go faster. And red means stop. I usually give you like a 5-second grace period if you keep talking, but if you keep talking, the bell, all right? So at least we know we got to keep it moving here. So let's say good evening. Thank you for joining us. And let's start with State Senator Mike Brady. Good evening and welcome to WATD.
Thank you very much. And I want to thank WATD for hosting this and all the people here tonight and my opponent as well. My name is Mike Brady. I'm your current state senator from the 2nd Plymouth-Bristol District. I've been serving the state senate since 2015 when we lost a great friend and my mentor, Senator Tom Kennedy. Before that, I served in the state House of Representatives from 2008 to 2015. And before that, I served 13 years on the Brockton City Council, and I was also on the Brockton School Committee. I also serve on the Plymouth County Democratic League, the Democratic State Committee, and I got involved many years ago because I wanted to see a difference and a change, and I was very active in the Brockton YMCA, the Brockton Boys and Girls Club, Neighborhood Crime Watch, and many other volunteerism, also saving our libraries because the funding got cut on that. So since I've been elected, I've continued to work for my district. I got funding to build 5 elementary schools in the city of Brockton with a 90% reimbursement from the state. We helped build a library addition on a Brockton downtown library that was not handicap accessible, so never mind our Senator Tom Kennedy couldn't get in. But a young child couldn't get in. And then when the state house seat opened up, I got involved with the Plymouth County area of the 2nd Plymouth District in Bristol County. I've worked to get more funding for the district. We've had the highest increase in school funding year after year, and we passed the Student Opportunity Act, which is the highest increase in funding. But I also want to thank our healthcare workers. We're facing a tough COVID epidemic. And I've worked with our Secretary of State's office, our Director of Public Health, our governor, worked across party lines, even though I'm a Democrat. We have meetings every week discussing with Secretary Sutter's office what is the need. And in the beginning, because of what was coming out of Washington with our president, and I hate to call him even the president, he was not supplying the proper means and supplies, and we worked to get the proper PPEs to our district. I visited the hospitals. I visited with our firefighters to see what the needs are, and it wasn't enough at the time, but we continue to get more and more equipment. and I'm going to continue to work on behalf of our constituents.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement of State Senator Mike Brady, and let's go to Moises Rodriguez, your opening statement. Good evening.
Well, thank you, Christine, and thank you, ATD, Kevin, Charlie, for having us here tonight, and of course, Mike as well. My name is Moises Rodriguez, and I'm someone who was born overseas. I came to this country as a teenager back in the 70s and went straight to Brockton High School and graduated from Brockton High School. I was fortunate enough to come with my parents, and I had an opportunity to go on to college. I graduated from the UMass systems. I joined the United States Navy, where I served for 6 years, giving back to this country as well. And I've been a city councilor in the city of Brockton now at large, voted by the entire city since 2013. And just last year, with the passing of Mayor Carpenter, I had an opportunity to become the first minority mayor in the history of the city of Brockton, where I served from July until January of this past year. And within that period, we were able to do a variety of things that had been lacking for quite some time. And then realizing that, you know, our Senate district could do so much better than we have been doing in the past. I and a few of my closest friends basically thought that it would make a lot of sense for me to run and seek this seat, since we're not getting what we could be getting from that seat. And that's why I decided to throw my hat into that ring and basically compete for that position. What a lot of people sometimes don't quite realize is that seat doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to the taxpayers. It belongs to the voters of this district. No one actually inherits the seat. I mean, no way in the past, for some odd reason, you hear that you got to wait your turn in order to do that. But I decided that, you know what, since the voters are the ones that actually decide who holds that seat, that seat is wide open. I said that I wasn't running against Mike Brady. I'm basically running for the voters of our district. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement. Moises Rodriguez, excuse me. Now let's go to our questions. Let's start with Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tanchi.
Thank you, Christine. It's interesting, Moses, as Moses was wrapping up his opening statement, that this race is one of two races in the Brockton area where you actually have city councilors who are running against members of their legislative delegation. And so I'm going to start with you, Moses. And you kind of said, I think you kind of gave a part of an answer why you ran. Is that the complete reason why you're deciding to run, is because you feel that the city's not getting the most out of the Senate seat? Is that the main reason? And what are you going to do differently if you're elected?
Well, thank Kevin for that question. You know, when you've been on the receiving end of the funds that come down the state, I know the senator talked about the fact that they just passed the Student Opportunity Act and some of these other acts that are actually passed. Those are funding that come into the city to a formula process. And what I'm looking for is somebody that's actually able, as, you know, remember, once you've been a city council, you've been a mayor, you actually have seen... especially in dealing with the other mayors in the Commonwealth, you see some of these mayors benefiting from funding that come down in forms of appropriations that the city of Brockton never gets. You know, so that's the reason why I chose to run for this, because I believe, you know, to be honest with you, when you've got the Senate where the vast majority are Democrats, it's not that hard just to vote for something that's being proposed. I'm looking for something in terms of who's doing the proposing, and that's the thing that I think we've been lacking in this community. So that's the reason why I'm doing it.
So super quick follow-up, 30-second follow-up. You talk about Brockton and Brockton not getting this. Don't forget, this is a Senate district that has other communities in it. What about them? What about their needs?
I agree with you. And from traveling throughout this Senate district, not a single person that I've spoken to have ever said that, you know, they've gotten their fair share. You know, I've actually coined a new phrase that we live in the Massachusetts purgatory. You know, this little belt down here, because when it comes to funding, I mean, you see things that go on in Boston, things that go on in New Bedford, but as far as the city itself or this belt, we don't get those benefits.
Senator, so my question to you, Senator, is what are your thoughts about having another Democrat oppose you for the party nomination, especially a member of the city council where you once served as a ward council, Ward 2, I believe?
Well, thank you, Kevin. And, you know, everybody has a right to run. This is a democracy we live in. When I was on the city council several years ago, there was another city council that ran for the seat, and a former mayor's son, and I was very successful, and I cannot thank the voters enough. They had the confidence and faith in me to get me elected, not only to the House of Representatives, but also in the state Senate. And we've delivered. We've got more funding in the history of the Commonwealth to the city of Brockton and the rest of the district. As you mentioned, Kevin, my district goes from northeastern through Brockton to Hanover down to Plimpton. I've been out meeting with every town official. I've got support from a lot of elected officials across the board. I've worked with the teachers' organizations. I've been endorsed by the Mass Teachers Union, the American Federation of Teachers, and that's just one day's work. I'm constantly meeting with my constituents, hearing what their needs are. And it is not perfect. We still have more work to do, but we have gotten more funding in the history of the Commonwealth to the district. And even with this COVID crisis, we have funded a budget for 3 months. We're waiting to see what the federal government's going to do, but we also added money for inflation as well.
Thank you very much. Now let's go to Charles Mathewson. Your question for our candidates, Charles.
I'm only going to say this one time. Central Plymouth County Water District Commission, hereinafter referred to as the Water Commission, and it serves Brockton and the towns to the east to the water. Mike, you have been very generous to the Water Commission through your aide, L. G. DiGeronimo. They've gotten quite a bit of funding. Why are you doing that?
Well, this is important. You know, the Central Plymouth Water District affects not only the city of Brockton. We get our water from Silver Lake. We also get it from the Mon Ponsapon. Furnace Brook and Stump Brook feeds the area, but it all affects the town of Halifax that I represent. We want to make sure that water is clean for the residents that use the water. The water comes into Whitman and Hanson, so it affects a lot of our district, and it's so important. And we've got money in the budget to clean up the chronic bacteria, and I've met with the officials, the experts who are down there that test the water quite frequently to see if the water is adequate for our drinking water supply, but also for our recreation. And it's an ongoing basis, and we found out that some of the bacteria is caused by cranberry bogs, and I'm a big supporter of the cranberry industry, but phosphorus, and that helps grow bacteria. We want to make sure that water is clean, and that affects a lot of towns in my district as well as the city of Brockton. So that's why I continue to work with our experts and work with our town officials all across the district to make sure our water is adequate, clean, and it's safe for our residents to drink.
Moises, would you continue that effort?
Yes, I would. I don't know if, Charlie, if you actually know this, but I also, once I was actually in the mayor's seat, one of the things that I did was to basically work with the desal plant that we own in the city of Brockton to basically put together an idea, a proposal to buy the desal plant, because by buying the desal plant that we put a lot less taxation on the water that we use from both of those lakes. So by basically producing the water for the city and for the region, because, you know, there's some communities that actually share Brockton, the Brockton water. So I actually did that. I initiated that whole process, saving the taxpayers a ton of money by renegotiating a previous deal that actually existed. But with the main idea of ownership of that power of that water plant, so we can actually be able to take some of the stresses from the ponds themselves.
A quick follow-up for each of you. Would you support Brockton joining the MWRA?
If you'd like, I could go first.
Yes, that's Senator Brady.
When I was on the city council, we had a lot of discussion on that, and that's like a four-letter word you do not want to even mention to our residents. The costs are too high. That's why the city under Mayor Units initially did the desal contract. And we do have other water sources like the Avon Reservoir as a backup. So I think that's not what the residents wanted. I think the problem is the desal contract was supposed to market to other communities, and they still have not done so.
Moises?
Well, I would not support the city or the water community here hooking up to the MWRA, because we looked into it just a couple years ago, and it would cost the community somewhere around $100-something million just to hook up to it, and it just makes absolutely no sense.
Thank you.
Okay. And if people are listening, they're just tuning in, you're listening to a political forum here. It's for the 2nd Plymouth and Bristol District. We have the incumbent, State Senator Mike Brady, and his challenger, Moises Rodriguez, and this is for the Democratic primary. That election is coming up on September 1st. Okay, gentlemen, I have a question for both of you. What do you think about flying the thin blue line American flag? How do you see this? Is it pro-police and anti-Black Lives Matter, or just pro-police and not anti-anyone, or something else completely? Or do I have it completely wrong here? Let's start with you, Moises. Your thoughts.
Christine, listen, I am one of these a foreign-born individual, but you know, true American in the sense. I, being a veteran of the United States Navy, I believe in the American flag as it is. And when you look at some of these other concepts that I actually have put into play, to me it takes away from what the red, white, and blue flag looks like. And it might be whatever messages people are trying to send, to me it's taking away from that. So I actually would look into looking at the flag and stay within the flag. And if you have a message that you need to kind of decipher to people or have a message sent out up there, to me, it would mean stay away from the U.S. flag, stay away from the American flag, because every time I see some sort of a variation of that flag, it hurts me, and it hurts me dearly.
Okay. Senator Brady, what do you think about the flying the American flag with a thin blue line on it?
Thank you. And as my opponent mentioned, we all support the American flag, and that's the flag of our nation and our country. We have to support that first. But there's a lot of issues. Black Lives Matter. I studied that. I've seen what has happened. We have to raise the income levels of our communities. Black women of color and black men are not equaling the same pay rate of other people in the community. And we've passed legislation to have fair wages for our workers. But our police departments, too, we have to support our police departments. They're the frontline workers. We passed legislation to have proper vesting and proper safety equipment in the Shannon Grant, which I've been a big supporter, and increased funding for that every single year. And I've worked on Crime Watch meetings. I've worked with our local police departments. And I think we got to bring the community together. Unlike what happens out of Washington with that president of ours, which I hate to even call him the president, he wants to divide our country. I want to bring our country together, to work together, to have all people at the table in the decision-making. This is a country that has had many immigrants come into it. We have to work together for the improvement, and that's how we get things done in the Commonwealth.
Okay, but I'm still not clear. What do you support, flying the American flag with a thin blue line or not?
Well, I support flying the American flag, but there's nothing wrong if people want to have a Black Lives Matter flag, if they want to have a blue flag. That's what America is all about. You have a right to choose what you want to do. And I know I just say to bring it up, but the Mrs. Chesner in Hanover, there was a Blue Lives flag banner outside her yard, and somebody put a thing to deface it. That is terrible. And she lost her husband in the line of duty in the town of Weymouth, and it's a constituent of mine that just breaks our heart. But we have had other people that have suffered from violence, too.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go over to Kevin Tachi now. Questions for our candidates here tonight.
Yeah, I think I want to stay along that line, okay, Christine. And this will start with Senator Brady. You know, the death of George Floyd has brought attention to systematic racism and questions not only around the country but also here in the Commonwealth regarding law enforcement reform. Senator, where do you stand, and where did you stand in the recent Senate bill that was called for changes to local policing and any safeguards that local police and fire would have doing their duty?
Well, this has been a very serious issue. It's weighed heavy on a lot of hearts of my constituents. I've listened to parishioners. I've listened to black police officers. I've listened to chiefs of police during that budget. The deliberation on that bill. I support moving the bill forward to the House of Representatives. I think there's a lot of good things out there. There was $5 million of training and having proper equipment for our police departments. But my constituents, you have to represent in what happened not only to Mr. Floyd, but also there's a family in Easton that their son was killed. And the officer, and everybody agrees, every police officer I talked to, that police officer, not only in the Mr. Floyd case, but the other case, should have been charged with murder. That young family and that young son, that's not a should have happened. He was a student outside of college. And that's some of the reasons. We constantly have to improve, and reform is needed. Change is inevitable, but we have to have everybody on the table. There were some parts of the bill I supported and some parts I did not, and that's why it's in a conference committee, and we're waiting to see what comes out of that conference committee for a final vote.
Okay. And you're of course, referring to D.J. Henry,
yes,
and his death in New York.
Yes, absolutely. And again, it didn't happen in Massachusetts, but it was a film that you know, lived to the town next to us, and I've heard loud and clear from a lot of people that knew the family much more than I did.
Okay.
And it just breaks your heart what happened. And again, you got to listen to both sides of this issue.
So, Moises, I would ask you the same question. Give me your thoughts regarding the House and the Senate bill calling for change to local policing. Being somebody who is an elected member, not only an at-large councilor, but also a recent mayor.
Well, Kevin, you know, I don't know if you can tell or not, but I am actually happen to be someone of color. As a matter of fact, when you look in the state senate itself, I believe we have two minority individuals up there now, a Hispanic woman and a Vietnamese person. And there's not a single person of color up there. So when we're talking about the color issue and the issues that the systematic situation of racism in this country, you don't have to look at George Floyd. I know that everybody basically kind of looks at George Floyd and the situation of what happened with George Floyd. George Floyd happens in America every day. And the only difference is that George Floyd was caught on video of something that actually there was horrible that actually happened. But that's the difference. So what we got to look at it is basically look at holding police accountable for their actions. And that's something that I think that does not exist in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts or across this country. We basically, just because it's one of those things that we say you support the police or you don't support the police, I support the police top than yin-yang. But the issue is that it's not just about that.
Sorry, I know. Sorry. Do you want to do a follow-up question?
A quick follow-up.
Okay.
So would you be more in favor of reforms, or would you be more in favor of reallocating funding for police departments to go towards social workers and stuff like that?
No, I actually voted in the city council not to tamper with the funding for the police because I honestly believe, and of course I can only speak for the city of Brockton because I'm a councilor in the city of Brockton, but I didn't feel that it was appropriate for us to even look at possibly cutting funding for the police department when we have an undermanned police department to begin with. So the situation that we are looking at is to basically hold police accountable for their actions. A lot of times we have reforms that are put into the books. Those are just like laws that we have in this country. The idea is that we got to enforce the laws that we have in the books in this country, and we must do that. It's not just passing reforms.
Okay. Any other follow-up questions of those?
No, we're good.
I just want to jump in here with one quick follow-up question. Have either of you personally had a negative interaction with a police officer during the course of your life, even if you were a teenage kid or if you were just, you know, got caught in a speed trap and somebody was mean to you? Moises, you ever had a bad experience with a police officer?
Yes, I have. And it's sad to say that a lot of times you are guilty until proven otherwise,
mm-hmm.
just because of your skin tone. And that's the America that I do not support. That's the America that I don't want to see. Because when I wore the uniform to protect and defend this country, I wore it to protect and defend every single citizen of this country. And to be able to be dragged aside just because of your skin tone or the fact that you speak with an accent because you sound like you've come from mm-hmm. someplace else, it has happened to me several times, and it continues to happen.
Was that locally or was that out of state?
Local and state.
Okay. Same with you, Mike Brady. Have you ever had a bad experience where, you know, for no reason a police officer pulled you over or just assumed you were, you know, guilty like you're a kid or whatever? Just anything you want to share with us?
Well, as young children, we always have had things, but you learn it through experience that most of the time the police officers are right. And I've heard from families, though, that are of different demographics that have had bad experience from police officers. I've met with a former retired African-American history teacher who I've talked to quite frequently, and he got arrested in Boston. It didn't happen in my district for stealing at a Filene's basement store years ago. Of course, it happened in the 70s, not now. And then another year he was going to a play with two other teachers in Boston, and he was accused by a cabbie of saying, oh, you're a pimp with your two hookers. And that's totally wrong. But we got to learn from that. And that's why in this bill we're looking at, and as I continue, to fund proper training. We don't have every department in my district to have certification. And there was a lot of things that I met with the chiefs of police on in our clergy that they supported in this legislation that we're looking to put forward. But there's still some questions that still need to get straightened out.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Senator Brady. Charles Mathewson, questions for our candidates?
I want to pick up right there. This is a bill under current consideration on Beacon Hill. It comprises education, training, banning chokeholds, I don't know if the training specifies or would specify how to subdue someone without using a chokehold. Certification or licensing, like most professionals are licensed, and doing away with the legal protections of police officers. So I'd like to ask each of you, let's go with Mike first. Which aspects of this bill do you support, and which do you think go too far?
Well, the things you mentioned, proper training, as I mentioned in the Senate version, there was over $5 million of help for police officers and training. I think setting up these commissions and boards, having police officers on the boards, having people from our community on the boards, members of the NAACP, they obviously, everybody has to have proper training to be on these boards, but all of that, making sure they're, because we want to protect the public and the police officers who are out in the street, the frontliners. So we have a lot more discussion as it goes through the conference committee, which is happening now. The questions and concerns they had, and I think we got to do a better job educating the public, because I've heard that from some police officers' wives that, are we going to be sued? Am I going to lose my house because my spouse pulled over a person with a traffic violation? And that's not true. There still is indemnification in the bill, so they are protected. And even qualified immunity, you got to go through proper steps to even reach that plateau before you lose your certification and become decertified. So it's still a work in progress. Those were the concerns they had about the qualified immunity part of the bill.
Okay.
Moises, same question to you. What aspects do you support? What aspects do you think go too far?
Well, Charlie, the interesting thing is when I joined the military, I was in the United States Navy in boot camp in Orlando, Florida. I had friends who were at Great Lakes and friends who were in San Diego in boot camp. But we were all trained the same way. One of the issues that I see when it comes to the police department, each department kind of trains their people in a specific way. There's no uniform training for police officers in this country. And I think one of the things that we have to heavily invest in is training police so that they're using the same procedures across the board. Because it doesn't matter what you put down in terms of the laws in the book, but if Easton does it one way and Brockton does it a different way and Whitman does it a different way, you're going to run into the issues that we're running into. So that, to me, would be one of the most important things in terms of training and become a uniform police department that deals with those issues across the board. As far as the bill itself, I mean, that's something I support because I've been calling for police accountability all my life.
I know that minute. It's tough. I know. Just letting candidates know, if you feel like you could not get everything in that you wanted to in a question, you can always use part of that for your during your final statement. You can always put something in there. Kevin, let me jump ahead to you because I cut ahead of you last time. I know you got a question for the candidates. And that's Kevin Tachi, question for the candidates.
So I'm going to, seeing that she relented and gave it to me, I'm basically taking a page out of her playbook, and I'm going to ask you about bacon.
Oh, that was my next question.
Mm-hmm. I know it was.
Bacon?
Bacon. You'll get it in a second, trust me. What would you do, Moses, what would you do differently when it comes to bringing home the bacon? That's securing funding for communities, pet projects, things that maybe a community needs to be desperately lobbying for. What would you do a little extra to be able to secure that funding and assist your communities within your district?
Well, Kevin, let me just tell you something. We had a program in the city of Brockton to deal with domestic violence in terms of within the ethnic communities that we deal with. We know that that's a major problem in the community, but that program ceased to exist because we couldn't get the funding to help it. Yet you look around and you see all these other cities like New Bedford, Worcester, Springfield, Lowell, Lawrence, they all have funding that come directly into community-based organizations to help those communities deal with those issues. I know we keep talking about school funding. Those are funds that come through the communities in a formula setting that has nothing to do with additional funding. What I'm talking about is these appropriations that you see all these senators getting for their district that we have not been able to get. Voting for school funding, that's all well and good, But the idea is to do something independently so you can bring in those funds that will benefit those community-based organizations.
Senator, my question to you would be, during your last legislative term, what did you do as a senator to bring back funding to communities in your district? And if you could, please be specific.
Sure. Well, as we mentioned earlier, my district is very diverse. It has different needs. I've always fought and got funding for the Champion Plan in Brockton to help people with addiction, and we've increased funding for that. I've got funding for Camp Kiwani in Hanson, $25 million. COVID, this is the biggest issue happening now. We've increased funding, specific direct funding to our districts for COVID, for PPEs, for proper protective equipment. I've met with our public health officials. I'm constantly on a meeting once a week with leadership in the Senate to see what the needs are. Road work, Chapter 90 money. We've increased money. We've got money for Brockton, for Hanover, for Hanson, millions and millions of dollars to our district constantly. And that's working together. One person does not do it alone. We have a great team at the State House working together to get the job done. And that's how you get it done. One person's vote does not make a difference unless you work together. And I think in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, both Democrats and Republicans work very well together.
Thank you very much. Question for the candidates, Charles Mathewson.
Okay, let's get the nastiness out of the way. Mike, you were arrested for an OUI, and you lost a committee chairmanship, not because of the arrest, but because you were accused of leveraging your position as a state senator during the arrest. How do you respond to that?
Well, I take full responsibility for my actions. I regret what I've done. When I got pulled over, they're asking for your ID, and I pulled out my State House ID, and I am sorry to my constituents for any mistakes that I've made in the past. As you know, none of us are human, but I take full responsibility for my actions, and I want to thank the residents for their faith and confidence in me. After that incident happened, they re-elected me all across the district, and they are supporting me still in my re-election this term. I would not run for re-election if I didn't feel I was doing the job effectively and having the support of my constituency. But it's a learning experience, and I've continued to learn from it. And I know other people that have had the same situation. I have a lot of empathy that people who have been through the same situation, and I'm learning from that and the proper steps taking moving forward. And I've had tremendous support, as I mentioned, but I regret what I've done. I admit to my faults, and I'm moving forward.
And Moises, you've been accused of smearing former councilor member Jazz Stewart, and you were suspended for 3 days without pay as the director of community services for former mayor James Harrington. How do you respond to that?
Well, Charles, that situation happened back in 2007 under the Harrington administration. There were some photographs being passed around, and a photograph got handed to me. And I share that photograph with someone that basically was accusing us of propaganda in terms of what that what the other candidate was doing. And I basically didn't shy away from it. I couldn't discuss it. I couldn't answer it because I was basically told by the campaign to kind of let it be and leave it alone. But when you look at it, the pictures were not taken by me. It was a photograph that was left, and it was actually a photograph that was in the newspaper. Going back to the wedding pictures of the previous candidate. So it wasn't something that I had anything to do with it, and that's something that I agreed in terms of just taking the 3 days off and call it quits and move on.
Okay, nastiness done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Just a reminder, you're listening to WATD 95.9, and it's a political forum. It is for the 2nd Plymouth and Bristol District. We have the incumbent state senator, Mike Brady. He has challenger, Moises Rodriguez, as this is for the primary election. Gentlemen, I have a two-part question I'm going to ask you. With all the uncertainty with funding going on with the COVID-19 pandemic, the budget in the legislature, a lot of people are very anxious about, you know, what's going to be happening with the money. I'm going to give you two-part. I'm going to start, and then I'm going to give you another minute follow-up. What's your take on what's happening with the budget right now? And the second part of the question is going to be, do you think we need to raise taxes? Senator Mike Brady.
Well, right now we had to pass a budget for the next 3 months because we're waiting to see what comes out of Washington. We level funded just about everything to keep government working because I know cities and towns have to do their local budgets. And we also adjusted funding for inflation. And coming down the pike prior to the COVID epidemic, we had a great economy. Things were going good. We addressed more money to the district, but the COVID hit. So moving forward, I've worked with our congressional delegation. I know in the Federal House of Representatives, they passed a $3 trillion package that would help sustain and give us even more funding. The Republican-controlled U.S. Senate has not. They are moving the needle closer to the middle, but they're still not where we need them to be. And I know our two U.S. senators are working very diligently. I'm on the phone with them quite frequently as well. We have a great relationship. But that's one step. The other thing is a fair share amendment, which I think will give us funding down the road. That taxes people who make above and beyond $1 million. But there's other resources. I hear from my constituents, fantasy sports and sports betting. I don't do it, but everybody in every state around us is doing it. The revenue is going outside of Massachusetts. We can keep the money in Massachusetts, and I think that's a way to get more revenue to the Commonwealth.
Okay, same question, Moises. What do you think? Are you worried about what you see going on with the funding in the state budget, and do you think we need to raise taxes?
No to the raising of taxes. But because as taxpayers, I also don't want to see my taxes mm-hmm. being raised. But I figure I'm telling you, there's other ways of generating income. What frightens me, in a sense, is the situation that we've been living in, especially in a city like the city of Brockton. And again, I keep referring to the city of Brockton because I'm a city councilor from city of Brockton, and I've been a mayor of the city of Brockton. So my experience is based about, you know, in the city of Brockton. But you can actually apply that issue in the other communities of the district as well. So the situation that we, again, have never gotten a fair share. That's why I and a couple of my counselors and the mayor, we were basically the catalyst behind pushing for a lawsuit against the state so that the communities like Brockton, like these larger communities, can actually get more funding to bring back into their communities to help us in the educational process. I mean, everybody's talking about, you know, how we voted for this, we voted for this. It's the pressures and the resources that we put together that forced the state to do what they did. We cannot rely on the federal government because we can't control the federal government. What we can control is state government and local government.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Kevin Tauchi, questions for the candidates.
You know, the pandemic has been basically our main focus for most of mm-hmm. 2020. But one thing that, you know, was precedent, I feel, for many years is the opioid epidemic that can't be lost because of a pandemic. What needs to be done regarding the fight against drug addiction? We'll start with you, Moses.
Well, Kevin, I don't know if you remember, but when I was in the mayor's office, one of the things that I did, I convened a meeting with all the town managers that surround the Brockton area, because the opioid issues or even the homeless issues that we face in the city of Brockton is not a Brockton-only issue. It's a more of a regional issue, because if you live in the outskirts of Brockton, you need the hospital, you're going to go into Brockton. If you need social services, you're going to go into Brockton. So I view that as a situation that involves a lot more than just the homeless folks or the folks who are involved in the opioid epidemic in the city of Brockton. So that's why I brought everybody together for us to have a conversation and address it as a regional issue versus a one here, one there issue. Because until we bring everybody together and have a conversation, go after some serious funding to do, you know, none of these Band-Aid approaches that I see happening all the time, but put some real resources behind some of these programs and support those programs, because we've got a lot of good places that can do that for us.
Same question, Senator. The opioid epidemic, it's still ongoing. Arrests are still being made. It was just a major fentanyl bust that took place in the city of Brockton. What's being done in regards on the state level in regards to the opioid epidemic and drug addiction in general in the Commonwealth?
Well, that's a very important question. Twofold. We have to take the fentanyl dealers off the streets. We've seen what's happened with the heroin epidemic, and it's not just in the poor communities, it's in the wealthy communities. And people are finally coming to the forefront. It was like a hidden epidemic because people were ashamed when their family members had an addiction. I've helped families in Hanover, and Hanson and Whitman and Brockton get into programs such as Gosnell that does a great job, High Point. I've also worked with the health departments in these communities to get people help to get into these programs. And we've increased funding to get people into these programs. We passed legislation to get people help. But it's still an epidemic that's ongoing, and we have to do more. And it just breaks your heart because there's so many families that are dealing with this. But I've had personal experiences with many families. I'm working constantly with a family in Hanover that their daughter ends up running away from home. She's got a serious addiction. I can't mention the name because it's confidential. But I've helped her to get into programs, and a continuous battle we have to address.
Okay. Thank you. Any follow-up question on that, Kevin? You do have a follow-up?
No, we're good.
Okay. Let's go to Charles Mathewson again. Questions for the candidates, please.
Unfortunately, we had another shooting in Brockton over the weekend. Beginning with Mike, what does the Commonwealth have to do, or what does Brockton need the Commonwealth to do to get guns off the streets?
Well, as you know, we have the strictest gun laws in the country in Massachusetts, but they can ride right over the border to New Hampshire and get a gun. They can go to flea markets and buy guns right off the shelves. And we have to get our work more with our federal government to pass national legislation on this. We also, there's things that they can get over the Internet, these so-called guns that can make by hand. A child can make an illegal gun. And they change the serial numbers. They make them out of some equipment that they get, all different pieces that are legal. So we've passed some legislations to ban those, but we've passed legislation to ban assault weapons. But again, you don't want to hurt the legal hunters who are doing the right thing to go to target events and so forth. But there's too many shootings out there, too many young kids getting killed. We got to do a better job of getting these guns off the streets. And again, we got to pass some more legislation and get the proper training and funding out there, because it is terrible what's going on. And again, a lot of guns are coming through the communities illegally.
Moises, what does Brockton need the Commonwealth to do to help with this?
I'm going to come back and play the same old song that I've started playing. It's resources. Law-abiding citizens are not going out there shooting people. You can pass a gazillion laws and a gazillion reforms again. Law-abiding people, it's only going to affect law-abiding people. Those individuals who are involved in the gun trafficking and gun shootings are not individuals who are actually going to get affected one way or the other by new laws or new legislation that gets passed out. What we need to do is basically put resources in the community again, whereas people can come forward, get involved in programs that can actually dictate and take some folks out of those situations they're in. Because a lot of times when you see violence in the streets of America, it's due to desperation. It's not because the laws don't exist or the laws exist in the books. If we have the strictest laws in the state of Massachusetts, why is it that we still have the shootings? The reason why it's happening is because we don't have the resources to help the kids out.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm just going to switch topics here a little bit. Brockton is called the City of Champions. Who's your champion and why? Be specific. Moises, who's your champion?
In the city?
Yeah.
I believe it's actually my mother. You know, my mother is my champion. You know, somebody that actually put up with a lot of headaches, a lot of heartaches, and I believe she's my champion.
Is she listening right now?
Probably not.
Okay. It's recorded. It'll be up online. Senator Brady, who's your champion?
Well,
City of Brockton?
My family, my parents, they both have passed away. My father was a World War II veteran, and my mother was the one who did the discipline in the family. It's the old cliche, wait till your father gets home. And she kept an eye on me where I couldn't get away with anything, and she taught me many basic things that you need to be respectful of people, like holding a door for a young lady when you're going out to dinner, putting a coat out for somebody. Basic skills, saying yes and please and thank you. And then my father as well. He was a hard worker. He had a great work ethic. Both my parents did, for that matter. We come from very humble means. They were a blue-collar family. They never had the opportunity to own their own home. They never went to college. I was the first one out of my family to go to college. And also my brother and sister. I'm the youngest out of three. Both my brother and sister passed away, but they always kept an eye out for me as well. My sister died 8 years ago. My brother died this past May. And they always kept an eye out for me, always were there. And I learned from their work ethics as well. And they're my true champions of my family.
Okay, thank you. Let's go back to Kevin Tachi. Your questions for the candidates. You just popped around the corner there. Sort of like Secret Squirrel. I like that.
I just didn't want to get a mic shot.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
Thank you.
Charlie kind of touched upon it briefly in regards to Silver Lake. Charlie and I kind of have that in common. Silver Lake's kind of a big deal, knowing that it's a body of water that has a lot of history, a lot of legislation. But there's long been issues in regards to Silver Lake, Brockton, and the use of that resource in Plymouth County. The city is legally allowed to use this resource, but a lot of the communities abutting Silver Lake are concerned that the city hasn't done a proper job over the years when it comes to managing its use. Moses, what do you know about this issue? What conversations have you had about this resource with the neighboring communities? And what can be done at the state level to ensure the longevity of this resource?
Well, Kevin, when you look at it, one of the first things that we're doing, again, as the city of Brockton or the water authority in that region, is we're taking a lot less water from Silver Lake as we have in the past. I think we're down to somewhere around 9 million gallons of water usage nowadays in the city of Brockton and the communities that are affiliated with our water system. So when you take a little less water, I think you give the lake a chance to revive and survive. We will continue to have the need to use the water from the lake. That's just the reality of things because we do not possess any other major water sources. But the less water we can take out of that lake, I believe the neighboring communities will feel a little more at ease in understanding that, yes, we need the water, but at the same time, we're going to take a lot less water from that lake.
Okay. So I'm going to get a follow-up question. If I say the name Pine Dubois, what comes to mind?
Pine who?
Pine Dubois.
Somebody who might be related to Michelle Dubois?
No. No chance. Not that I know of. I remember putting together a water series, and one of the comments that she had made was how during a drought a few years ago, many of the communities were observing a water ban. Meanwhile, they came to City of Brockton for a meeting to talk about water. And when they're walking into City Hall, they're watching as City Hall is watering its lawn, a mere 2 feet of grass, watching all this water going down into the drain. What do you say to people who are concerned about the use of water and the waste of water that sometimes a community like Brockton doesn't realize that other communities care more so?
Well, Kevin, when you sit down and think about it, like I said, we're taking a lot less water nowadays from the lake than we did in the past. But we also own a desal plant that often, in order for us to try to promote that plant, we got to do something in terms of showing that we actually have water. And a lot of times the water that you see being watering in the, for instance, around City Hall and some of these other places, they're coming from, they're not coming from the Silver Lake water. They might be coming from wells or, in turns, coming from the desal plant as well. So just because you're seeing that happening and you don't have that, it doesn't mean it's coming from the lake.
Thanks.
Okay. Senator, my question is similar, but knowing that you have served in this capacity, have you had any conversations? Have you been involved in any conversations in regards to the neighboring communities, to Silver Lake, and what's going on in regards to Brockton and its management of that resource?
Yes, we've had several conversations, not only with the City of Brockton officials when I was on the City Council, but even since I've been a state legislator with Pine Dubois. She's an advocate. She's with a group of advocates from the Plymouth County Water District that has been fighting to make sure Brockton does not abuse their resources. And that's why we passed some funding and legislation several years ago to do INI testing to check pipes for leakage. And this was, we've replaced thousands and thousands of pipes from the Silver Lake region through Hanson, Whitman, and Brockton for leaks, for any roots that have grown into these pipes. The pipes are so old, and this goes back 20 years ago, we replaced pipes. We had some water bans in Brockton where we couldn't even allow a new business to grow in Brockton because of the water bans. So we replaced pipes, we conserved water, but we also, like was mentioned, we use the Avon Reservoir as a backup, and that's why the desalinization plant was, the contract was devised, because the state was going to come down and force Brock to come up with a plan. So we continue to find ways to conserve water.
Okay. Any follow-up, Kevin? Okay. Let's go back to Charles Mathewson. Questions for the candidates here.
For each of you, has the state reopened the economy too fast or too slow? Let's start with Mike.
Yeah, it's a case-by-case basis. I feel for our businesses, and I've met with our businesses, and everybody has a difference of opinion of whether we should have opened it too fast or too slow. Public safety is the number one priority. We've seen so many cases in our nursing homes, our elder facilities, our healthcare facilities, our frontline workers and nurses. They've seen, you know, Brockton was the second highest hit with the COVID in the Commonwealth next to Boston. The rest of Plymouth County did not get hit as bad. But that's why we're working with our county commissioners. They got allocated $93 million. They have delivered funding. I was at a thing in Plimpton today where they delivered a check to for the fire department in the town of Plimpton and for the town of Plimpton. I've been in Whitman. I've been in East Bridgewater. They delivered some funding there. They're helping out us to replenish the funding. But as far as opening too fast, it's a tough decision. We want the business to succeed. We're trying to help the business. We get grants for businesses, but we see the numbers starting to increase a little bit in Massachusetts, and that's why we have to listen to the experts. They are the smartest people out there.
Well, it's the same question. Too fast or too slow?
I think the state did a pretty decent job in terms of reopening. One of the things that I probably would have wished that they had done a little different is the who they included at the levels of reopening, because there's some small businesses that were seriously hurt by the actions of the state not allowing them to get involved in some of these other phases. Because if you look at gyms, some of the other smaller, you know, hair salons, where you could actually put in some serious safeguards to keep those people separated in the sense. I think they could have done a little bit better of a job in terms of including those small businesses in the phases of the operations that they allowed to basically go forward. But as far as opening, I think we as a state did a little bit better of a job than most states in the country.
Any follow-up there, Charlie?
Nope. Thank you.
Okay. Just want to switch topics here again. Some of my favorite people, grandparents. And I always feel like, don't be dissing the grannies. Do we do enough for senior citizens and our community? What needs to improve? Senator Mike Brady.
Well, we can never do enough for our senior citizens. That's why I got funding in the budget to support expansion and funding for our Council on Aging for the town of Halifax. They have an old building there that's not, it's got a ramp that's handicap accessible for the first floor, but it's not handicap accessible for the second floor. Their parking lot is atrocious. I got over $100,000 of funding for that. I meet with senior housing in Hanson and Brockton to see what their needs are. And we got to protect our seniors and our veterans. Our Council on Aging in Brockton, for instance, great building named after Mary Kennedy, the Mary Kennedy Senior Center, Tom Kennedy's mother, who was a nurse at Brockton Hospital back in the day. We've been on meetings with a lot of the officials there, and we did get more money to help the expansion because they need to expand that building. So we have to do more for our seniors and even protecting them and their households. I know a lot of them are afraid to leave their house. That's why that voting act was put in place, because so they can vote by mail, because they're in the worst case to catch COVID due to their health and their age and so forth. So we got to do more to protect our seniors.
Same question, Moises. What about, do we do enough for our senior citizens?
Well, I'm going to, I know that Mike tends to rumble and take these things and throw a bunch of stuff up the stick in hopes that something sticks. But I'm going to tell you one thing. No, we don't. We don't. I deal with a lot of individuals who are seniors from the various different communities that call our region home, and we don't do enough for them. We don't provide them with resources in terms of community resources that they can actually go out and enjoy some of the stuff. Yeah, there's been some Band-Aids in the past that actually haven't really materialized. We can talk about expansion here, expansion there. But in terms of programming to help the seniors in our community, a lot of the seniors are now becoming the parents of a lot of the kids that we deal with in our community. So they're taking care of kids. Instead of enjoying life as a retiree, they actually have becoming new parents in terms of dealing with some of the folks that we deal with in the community. And I would hope that we could actually provide a little bit more so that they can have the flexibility and enjoy the glories.
Okay. And now I'm going to go to the lightning round now and start asking a couple quick questions. Then we'll go to closing statements. And, of course, these are the questions that we ask. It's either a yes or no answer or a one- or two-sentence tops answer, and the reporter will ask what the preference is. Lightning round questions for the candidates. Kevin.
If there was a second chance for a Regency gaming license, would you support or help push a casino in the city of Brockton? Yes or no?
Yes or no. Let's start with Mike Brady.
Yes
or no? Moises.
Absolutely.
Okay. Charles, questions. Lightning round.
Just a sentence. How do you personally deal with people who seem to believe that they breathe through their chin and not their nose?
Could you translate that, please?
People who wear their mask around their chin instead of around their nose.
Was that directed at me? I was trying to speak. Thank you. Okay. I guess that's Charlie's question. Okay. How do you deal with people? Do you tell them to put their mask back on, or what do you do, Senator Brady?
I totally believe they have to, because we have to protect not only ourselves but the people around us.
Okay. Same question.
To educate them so that they know the importance of a mask.
Okay. And the question I ask every time we have a forum, county government, stay or go? Plymouth County government. Moises, yes or no?
Stay.
Okay. Mike Brady?
And I think it's proven with the $93 million that they've allocated.
I guess that's a yes.
That is a definite yes.
Salespeople can never say stay or go, yes or no. Let's go to closing statements now. We're going to reverse the order, so now we are going to start with Moises Rodriguez. Your closing statements, remember, it's 1 minute.
You know, you asked a question earlier, who's your hero? And I thought the question was, who was your hero, not a group of heroes? Mm-hmm. My family, too, is a group of my heroes. My wife, my daughters, my grandkids, that I have a couple of, are people that I look to and look at for encouragement and support. And they're the reason why I'm actually doing what I'm doing. I feel that we as people in this region, in this district, we can do so much better by getting someone that looks and sounds like us in the at the state level, to realize and to basically bring back the resources that this community needs so that we can continue to benefit as some of the other communities have done. That has not happened. That's the reason why I'm doing this. I'm doing this for the future of this district. I'm doing this for the future of my own family and friends and some of the other ones that actually live in our community, that we can do a ton better than we've done in the past. And that's why I come here asking for your vote on September 1st.
Thank you very much. That's Moises Rodriguez. Senator Brady, your closing statement for our listeners tonight.
Thank you. And I want to thank all the listeners out there. I want to thank everyone here at WATD, my opponent, for coming tonight. Most importantly, though, the voters out there, they've seen the work ethic I have. My work ethic, Brady Works, is second to none. I go to meetings, I go to meet with my constituents, and the most important thing is listening to the constituents. And sometimes we have to make tough decisions at the state level, and we have tough decisions to make, and it's not always easy. My work ethic is 24/7. I visited every town. I have relatives who grew up in some of these communities, such as Hanson and Hanover and Whitman. I've worked to get funding for the district, the Student Opportunity Act, I'm very proud of. It was a lot of work. We visited the Brockton schools. We had some other city councils there and school committee members. We had our Board of Education there. We visited, Mr. Rogan from one of the schools passed away. We visited the Kennedy School. We visited schools in other districts, the Whitman-Hanson School District, and so forth. So that's the thing I'm most proud of, but there's a lot more work to do.
Thank you very much. That was State Senator Mike Brady. You've been listening to a political forum here on WATD, and that's the second Plymouth and Bristol district. We had Whitman Hanson Cable Access here. Thanks so much for helping us out tonight. Kevin Tachi, Monday Night Talk host, asking questions along with Charles Mathewson and Amy Leonard in there, putting up that construction paper to let these folks know what to do, when to stop. And remember, September 1st is the primary. Get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, WATD. Thanks for listening.